Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 20th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's been a weird year. All those social gatherings that sort of provide the structure for our lives have either been canceled or curtailed or somehow haven't been quite the same. And Thanksgiving looking like it's going to be a weird one as well. But one thing we hope is a constant is the food. And here with sweet and savory recipes for Thanksgiving is a Food Friday favorite, Deanna Fox. If you have a question about sweet treats, pies, casseroles, whatever, give us a call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. It's Thanksgiving. Deanna Fox is here on Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Food Friday favorite Deanna Fox, who is here with her tips and recipes for any kind of dish you can dream up for your Thanksgiving holiday. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture journalist who travels the globe in search of stories of food heritage. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, The Guardian, The Kitchen, Eater, The Times Union, and more. She was the owner of the Albany Cooking School for several years. Her stories, videos, and recipes can be found at foxonfood.com or on Facebook and Instagram at foxonfood. You got a question about Thanksgiving recipes? We have the expert here today. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty well. It's not quite the same this year, though, right? I mean, you usually entertain a vast number of people.
No. I usually have, on Thanksgiving Day, I usually have a pretty small event. But then the weekend after, we get together with my mother's family. My mother is one of 17 children.
Wow.
And it's huge.
So how do you, I mean, are you going to do it in stages now? Or how are you going to pull that off with less than 10 at a pop?
No, we're just not going to do it this year. We've decided that, we've been doing that for, I don't know, I'm 34 years old, so my whole life at least.
Yeah.
But we're just not going to do it this year. Everyone's doing their own thing, keeping it small and being safe.
Well, as I said at the outset of the show, one of those constants that we can at least enjoy, hopefully those of most of us can, is some of the great food that you have at Thanksgiving. And it's always it's one of my favorite holidays, number one, because I don't have to buy presents for anybody. That's always big on my Scrooge list. And number two, it's just tremendous amount of great food. And before we get to the calls, and by the way, if you want to jump in while the lines are, a few of them are open, 800-348-2551 if you have a recipe question for Deanna Fox. You know, I would love to know what you will be cooking up on this perhaps a little different Thanksgiving.
Well, for me, the one thing that I'm changing up, I'm keeping everything basically the same. And the big thing for me, like the Thanksgiving meal itself is great, but I am such a fan of all the snacks that you eat before dinner. I love to feel so like sickeningly full before I actually sit down for Thanksgiving dinner. That's my favorite part. So I'm still doing that. I'm still doing what I usually do, you know, a full spread for Thanksgiving. But the one thing I'm changing is I'm going to smoke a turkey this year.
Oh,
instead of roasting it, I'm going to do a smoked turkey.
So you have an outdoor smoker and this is wood fired?
Yep. It's pellets. Yeah.
Very cool.
So
well,
it'll be interesting. We'll see. I'm putting my dad in charge of it this year, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Explain the basic process. You're brining the bird first, and then you put it in the smoker, or how do you do this?
Yep. So we've kind of decided that we're gonna do a dry brine on the bird, which is basically all the ingredients that you do for a wet brine. You're just not adding the water. So you're still doing some acid, you're doing salt, you're doing your herbs, and you're just kind of packing the turkey dry. We're going to leave it like that for 24 hours, and then we're going to brush that off, and we're going to smoke it. But part of the way through the smoking process, we're going to do kind of like a wet mop on it. We're going to do some rich, warm flavors. Normally how I would do it is I would take an obscene amount of butter,
right,
with salt and some sage and parsley and thyme and rosemary, and I chop that all up in my butter, and I'd actually separate the skin of the turkey from the flesh, and I'd rub the butter between the skin and the flesh, and then when you roast your turkey, all of that fat goes into all of the meat, so you don't have to worry about like basting your bird, you don't have to worry about you know, the white meat getting really dry before the dark meat is cooked through, but we'll see. I've never smoked a turkey before, so I'm excited.
That
we'll
is
see how
exciting.
It turns out. And if it's total crap, then you know what? This whole year's been crap, so it'll be fine.
Deanna Fox is our guest. All right, let's backtrack a moment here. And you've mentioned this before on this program, that you like to get the butter between the skin and the bird. And the question I always have, and then I always forget to ask, how do you get the skin back on the bird once you put the butter in?
Well, you don't actually take the skin off. So, you know, there's different openings on your turkey, either, you know, in the front cavity or the rear cavity, and you just kind of separate. You can pull the skin up away from the flesh a little bit and just kind of get your hands in there. And then I just, from the outside of the skin, I kind of manipulate the butter to kind of work its way down in. And the whole bird is not going to be covered. There's not going to be a complete uniform layer of herbed butter between the skin and the flesh.
Why?
But it'll be pretty close. And usually when I cook my turkey, I spatchcock it, which means that you cut the backbone out of the bird. So it lays flat. So it gets really, really crispy skin. All of that butter seeps down through the meat, and it shaves probably like an hour and a half off the cooking time for the turkey. So it's a great, if nobody's ever tried that before, if you want to try something different, that would be a good practice. And then I actually just roast that backbone right with my turkey. And that's got a ton of flavor in it. So either you could incorporate it into some stock to make your gravy or save it for the next day when you're cooking down turkey bones. But don't get rid of that backbone. Still roast that too.
Deanna Fox is our guest. It's Thanksgiving recipes today on Food Friday. And Catherine in Catskill has been waiting a while, so I will get to her call. But I want to go back to this butter and roasting thing because I frankly have some safety concerns. Catherine in Catskill. Catherine, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much. First, I'd like to say happy Indigenous Peoples Day also, something important to remember. But also, I have a question about apple pies and blind baking them. And if you blind bake the crust of an apple pie, one, how long should you do it? And second, are you still able to put a top crust on, or is that like not an option anymore because of the slightly cooked?
Yeah.
Crust
so blind baking is, for people who don't know who are listening, is where the bottom crust of a pie, you form it like you normally would, and then you lay down a piece of parchment paper or maybe even tin foil and weigh it down with some pie beads or dried beans or dried rice, and then you bake it for a short period of time in the oven. And what that does is it kind of like par cooks the crust on the bottom. And some people think to do that with apple pie because, or any kind of fruit pie, because there's so much like liquid and it can make the bottom crust soggy. But it's really hard to do that traditional like double crust. It's really tough to then put a top crust over your pie. If you wanted to do like a Dutch apple pie, which has the crumb topping, you could do that. I don't think it's going to work to put a top crust on it. Okay. But let me ask, are you blind baking it because you're worried about a soggy bottom?
I mean, I've made this a few times and the bottom, like if I cook it long enough, it's fine, but I always wanted to know if it would be better with a slightly more cooked bottom, but it would basically to be avoid making it soggy, but it's also not the biggest deal.
Well, there's
is there any technique?
Yep, there is a trick that you can use. So what you need is some sort of like lipid layer, so some sort of fat layer that's going to prevent the juices from your apples from dripping down into your crust. So when you put your bottom crust in, you can take some soft butter and just rub it across the bottom of the crust before you put your apples in. And I also take like 2 tablespoons of sugar and I'll sprinkle that on top of that butter. And those two things together will kind of create this like layer where the juices aren't as able to penetrate down into your crust. And another trick.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Start your pie a little bit higher, like start it at like 425 and cook it at 425 for maybe like 15 minutes, and then turn your oven down to 375 for the rest of the way. And that's going to like almost sear that crust and make it really almost give you that blind baking technique before the apples have too much time to lose all their juice. So try those.
Can you?
And then
that's a
let
great
me
idea.
Know how it goes.
Can you still do it? Can you still do it with a glass baking dish at 425, or would you lower it again?
Nope, 425 on a glass dish is fine.
Catherine, thank you very much for the call. Deanna Fox is our guest. It's a Thanksgiving cooking today on Food Friday. 800-348-2551. If you have a question, you can also email us, and we have a few of those to get to. voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. The number, 800-348-2551. And we'll be right back. Fox Pop, it's a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox joins us today with Thanksgiving cooking tips. And before we get to the emails here, Deanna, let's just go back to this whole business of smoking the turkey, which you have not done. Your dad's going to be in charge of this.
Putting him in charge, yep.
How long will you have to do that, first of all?
I don't know, because the bird that we're doing is like a 14-pound bird.
Right.
So I'm guessing to smoke it, it's probably going to be like 3.5 to 4 hours.
Okay. And at what temperature?
Depending on if we smoke it whole or if we cut that backbone out. Because when you cut the backbone out and you're able to lay it flat, first of all, I think that whole idea of like the Norman Rockwell, Ma bringing that big turkey out onto the table in its complete, you know, uncarved stage is like so phony, so terrible, just a terrible idea all around. It's difficult to carve things at the table. It's inefficient for cooking. You have this huge cavity in the middle that just does nothing to help you cook the bird. So if you do it flat and then you carve it in the kitchen and then bring out all the carved pieces, it's much easier. So I'm wondering if I take that backbone out, I have to do a little bit more research, but I think if I take that backbone out, I could probably get it down to like 2.5 to 3 hours on the smoking.
At what temperature do you think?
No idea.
Okay.
Haven't figured it out yet.
All right. So
probably like at the 225 range.
Now I'm trying to figure out, now I have a charcoal grill at home, but I don't have a smoker, and I'm trying to figure out the architecture of this thing. You had mentioned, you know, as your wont to do, you will pick up the skin somehow, some surgical way, and put butter inside. All right, fine. I'm good with that. That sounds great. But if you have it over a flame and the butter starts leaking, that's a recipe for a 3-alarm fire, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that heat, definitely, for sure. One thing you can do is you can rig up a drip pan, essentially. I would do it with just the cheap grocery store disposable tin pan, aluminum pan.
Yeah.
And that will catch the drippings from hitting, you know, your coals or the gas, however you're doing it. And you can do it that way. And then you also maintain all the drippings from the bird, which can get you into a really nice gravy situation. But it just depends on how deep your grill is. If you're doing like a big kettle grill or something like that. Some gas grills do have a drip tray, which is really nice, but I guess it depends on, like you said, the architecture of your grill,
exactly,
of your smoker.
All right. Well, this will be very exciting, and we hope not to see you on the news at any point after Thanksgiving. This is from Jody. Jody says, is there any difference taste-wise between making a whole turkey and just cooking a turkey breast and a couple legs? We're staying home. It's just the four of us this year. I'm thinking a whole turkey might be too much, and that's from Jody in Lyonsville.
No, the flavor from a turkey really comes from whatever you're doing to the turkey. And it's not a bad idea to separate your turkey into parts anyway. I really like to do that because then everything cooks. You can kind of stage out your cooking of the turkey, the roasting of the turkey. Everything cooks at the same time. Because a lot of times what happens when you're doing this turkey, which is the problem that a lot of people go through, is that you end up with something that's too, you know, too well done and something that's underdone.
Yeah.
Because just white meat, dark meat, the chemical makeup of those things are affected by how long you cook them. So if you just wanted to do the turkey legs, if you're a family that likes the dark meat, just do turkey legs. You can find those on the market. If you want to just do a breast, you can do that. And you can even kind of cut your breast open, and you could do like a turkey roulade, which is basically where you take a filling and lay it out and then roll it back up like a Swiss roll and tie it, and you can roast it that way. So you can have a lot of fun with it this year. But as far as separate turkey pieces tasting different than a whole turkey, absolutely not. That won't be a problem.
Okay, and this one's from Francis along the same lines. Francis writes, my family's foregoing traditional Thanksgiving dinner this year. Can I bake a chicken or turkey breast in a crock pot? If so, what's the best way?
You could. Crock pots are designed to cook at a really low temperature for a long period of time. So it's going to take you a long time. And basically, there's no way, unless you're rigging up some sort of rack in your crock pot, you're going to have turkey that's sitting in its own juices for a long time. So you're not going to really develop crispy skin. If you're somebody who likes like a nice crackling skin on your turkey, that's really hard to do in a crock pot, because just by the nature of it, it's like almost self-basting.
Yeah.
And just continuously steamy and wet in that crock pot. So you could do I don't think a turkey would fit in a crock pot, but you could do a chicken in a crock pot. And it's probably going to take you probably like 5 to 6 hours on the high setting.
All right, fair enough. You need a fairly large crock pot for that one. So the little crock pots for the desktop, if you will, or for the countertop, probably not going to work. All right, I tell you what, Forrest in Great Barrington has a great question, and he is thinking along the lines that I am thinking. But let's hold off on his question for a minute and take a couple of calls. 800-348-2551. Sheila in Hillsdale. Sheila, you're on.
Hi. I'm also thinking about barbecuing my turkey. And because it's difficult to get small turkeys this year, we were going to get a whole turkey, possibly cut it in half, and barbecue it. So do you have any suggestion about that?
Well, you can just cut the turkey in half. That's fine. And you might even be able to find a local farm or even a butcher at a grocery store who will cut that turkey in half for you and maybe only sell you half if you're only looking for half. So that's been the trend this year. As far as barbecuing it, it's a really thick, if you're doing like the whole half, you have to think about the mass of the turkey. So the breast has more mass in it than the thigh will. Than the wing. So you really need to monitor when things are becoming done. The general rule of thumb, you can really do it. Don't do it over high heat, first of all. Do it over low heat. As far as the flavors that you want to add to it, you could dry brine it or marinate it beforehand, or you could just do some sort of rub on it. Like a dry rub would be really, really tasty to do over like live flame with a grill. But the trick is just to monitor the temperature. That's the best advice I can give you. So you want to go in. A few years ago, the FDA lowered the temperature for turkeys or for all poultry. So right now they're saying it's 165. So 165 is the ideal temperature to serve your bird at. But when you take meat or anything out of the oven, there's still like this thermal dynamic thing where it still has a lot of heat contained within it, and it's going to kick off a lot of heat. So you really want to take that bird off when your thermometer inserted into the thigh reads 150. And then you're going to let it sit for about 15 minutes, and it'll bring the temperature up to 165. And that's the best advice I can give you. As far as a flavor profile or anything like that, it's really whatever flavor you want to go with. You could do a Cajun turkey this year. You could do like a Thai style, Southeast Asian style, and you can marinate it in some soy and brown sugar and fish sauce. You can really go anywhere you want with it. And that's the really fun thing about a non-traditional Thanksgiving like we're having this year.
Sheila, thanks for the call. Deanna Fox is our guest. Her recipes and lots of information at foxonfood.com. Our number here on this program, 800-348-2551. Tony, our buddy Tony, chimes in on the whole smoking of turkeys. And Tony writes, I have hot smoked turkeys many times in my Weber kettle grill with wood chips. I put a small drip pan in the center, surround it with hot coals, place the turkey on the center of the grill, and cover. You do need to add additional coals, depending on the size. The method will cook a bird much faster than you would think. and it's delicious. There you go.
I bet it's delicious.
And we go to Lou in Altamont. Lou.
Yes, like many people, I have the problem that one person tolerates spices, the other does not, specifically capsaicin-type spices. Have you found anything that will neutralize an already prepared meal?
Wow, cool question.
So you're saying that somebody, so basically spicy things, so they don't like hot pepper?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can just omit those. Normally, they wouldn't really accompany, for a traditional American, very continental Thanksgiving, that's not a flavor you really get anyway. The best that you would get is like a black pepper flavor. But you can have a lot of fun. You can do your turkey as like your neutral base. So turkey is Switzerland, and then you can go on either side of that. So if you have people who don't like a lot of intense flavor, you know, stick with your mashed potatoes, stick with a pretty easy gravy. Maybe do like a vegetable side. And then for the people who like spice, you could do a cranberry sauce that's really punchy. You could almost make like a cranberry agrodolce, which is basically like a sweet sour cranberry sauce that has a lot of really bright vinegar in it and a lot of sugar. But then you could throw in like a chili pepper and get some heat in it if you wanted to. Just take the whole chili pepper out when you're done cooking. You could, in your stuffing, you could have a lot of fun. You could do like a traditional stuffing, and then you could do like a hot Italian sausage stuffing for people who like hotter stuff. So I would say with your turkey, keep it pretty neutral and then have a lot of fun with your sides.
All right. Thank you very much.
Lou, thanks a lot for the call. Deanna Fox, our guest, 800-348-2551, the number. Matt in Albany. Matt, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about getting all the flavors of a Thanksgiving meal in one bite. And I like your idea of not cooking a turkey traditionally, like you see in Norman Rockwell. And I was thinking about maybe doing turkey roll-ups with the stuffing and the mashed potatoes inside, and then wrapping it in like a biscuit dough or something. But I'm trying to get all the flavors in one bite. How would I do that?
Genius. I love that idea.
So I think the flavors that you're looking for, it's like savory, salty, sweet. So if you stick with those kind of profiles, you'll be good. So I would do, instead of like a biscuit dough, I would do puff pastry. Puff pastry is going to give you that really buttery
like a Wellington
flavor. Yeah, you could do it that way, or you could do them like individually. But if you wanted to, are you looking to do individual portions or one big portion?
Yes, I would like to do individual portions, because usually what I do is I take all the different things on the Thanksgiving dinner table, and I will take a biscuit, cut it in half, put those things between the biscuit, and make a little burger out of it.
I love that. You're speaking my language, Matt.
That's like, you know, what you eat at midnight in front of the fridge on Thanksgiving night. I totally feel you. So I would do it. Make your cranberry sauce like you normally would. Also make your stuffing like you normally would. You could probably get away with not doing potato. Potato maybe would be like your glue on the base, but I don't really think that you need to. And if you want to do turkey, you could roast your own turkey. You could do that. Or if you're kind of just looking to make a shortcut, I would just buy rotisserie chicken, to be honest, or a pre-cooked turkey, and save yourself the trouble. Just shred that up. Do your puff pastry, your cranberry sauce, add some stuffing. Maybe you want to throw in a little bit of like Bell's seasoning just for that flavor. Sprinkle on your meat, whatever meat you're using, and then roll them up and bake them. You could do an egg wash, which is just one egg mixed with a tablespoon of water.
Yep.
So once you have them all rolled up, put that on, sprinkle some like flaky salt on there, and bake them probably like 425, probably for about 20 minutes. As soon as they're nice and puffy and golden,
watering,
they're ready.
Say it again, Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Well done. Great idea. Deanna Fox is our guest. And let's see here. Who's been waiting the longest? John in Knox. John, you're on.
Hi. I've cooked numerous turkeys on a Weber grill, and they work great. It works great.
How long does it take, John?
If you go by the book, it's 11 minutes a pound unstuffed or 13 minutes a pound stuffed.
Okay.
Using an indirect method.
All right, fair enough. Well, we'll jot that one down for Deanna's father there. Thank you very much for the call. Now, you do not stuff the bird, though, right, when you bake it?
I don't do it, no. And I think that that's just, that makes me a little nervous for food safety reasons. Plus, yeah. It also takes just so long to cook it. So I think stuffing tastes better, or dressing, whatever you want to call it, when you do it as its own thing anyway. So
yeah, all right, let's
I avoid stuffing my bird.
Let's go to Chris in Stone Ridge. Chris, you're on with the Anna Fox.
Hey, guys. Thanks. So I just wanted to call in because I've actually, a couple of years ago, we were hosting about 20 people for Thanksgiving. Obviously not happening in a COVID year. But we did two birds, and we did one in the oven, spatchcocked, like you said, and we did the other one on a side smoker, and we spatchcocked that as well and did a side smoker. And I got to be honest, the times I'm hearing are a lot lower than what we ended up doing. We kept it probably around a 200-degree fire in the side smoker with some wood being placed on, you know, added charcoal as it went. And I would like to say we had that thing on there definitely over 4 hours and maybe even pushing up to like a 6-hour allotment. And it was incredible. I mean, it was the best leftover sandwich we've ever had.
Mm.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that it's probably going to take, for the size turkey that we normally do, like 5 or 6 hours. So I'm not betting on it being an early dinner.
Yeah, I mean, we started it pretty early in fear of that. The one in the oven we put in hours after, and they were done at the same time.
You know, Chris, yeah. when you do a London broil or a brisket or smoke something like that, the byword is slow and low. Is that the way you do the turkey as well?
I mean, it's how we did it. I mean, I don't consider myself an expert in it, but that is kind of what we did. We had been practicing, you know, learning to smoke things with, like you said, brisket, pork shoulder, things like that are slow cook. And
yeah.
We just took that same methodology and did it with a bird and just used... We used some hickory and soaked the logs and tried to keep that fire low. I mean, it was cold enough that it helped keep the temperature down, and we were able to keep it at like 200 the whole time. And we started with the meat side down on the spatchcock bird to really smoke the skin and get it the flavor in it, and then flipped it over skin side up for the rest of the time.
Right. I agree with your method. I think that you're right.
Well, Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Thanksgiving cooking tips with Deanna Fox today on a Food Friday. Don at Peck Lake. Don, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Ray and Deanna. I have recently discovered cast iron skillet cooking on my Weber grill. I have always liked my bone-in pork chops thick, like an inch and a half thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I've discovered that they do fantastic. They keep their moisture, nice crispy surface on them, and they cook in 15, 17 minutes, something like that. If I were to split a turkey in half, what would you recommend? Have you done it?
Well, you'd have to have a really big skillet to do a turkey, even a half turkey, because... Mm-hmm. Bird is just going to sit differently, especially if you cut it in half. It's going to sit differently in that pan. There's no like rounded bottom on it that you can really kind of manipulate the rest of the bird into the pan with. So you're going to need at least a 12-inch cast iron skillet. You're probably going to need something bigger. I don't know if they make a 15-inch, but you might need that.
I have an 18-inch skillet.
Okay, then that would probably work for a half bird.
Right.
But as far as the methodology of it, it's not really going to be that different. So the cast iron it's really great, as you know, at retaining heat. It gives it a nice crunch. And you're going to cook this on the grill, right?
I'm going to put the skillet on, get the skillet up to about 500 degrees, and then set the turkey in it.
So you want to be careful because a half turkey is much thicker than a pork chop. So you're going to get a really good sear, but it might almost be too much of a sear. I would avoid going too high of a temperature with your skillet to start and let that char and that sear that you get from cast iron develop over time. Because it's still probably, even if you're doing a half bird, it's still going to take you 90 minutes probably to cook it through. Just be careful.
So maybe 300?
My only tip would...
300 degrees on the skillet?
That might be better. You don't want to go too high because it's direct heat. It's not like in an oven where there's just heat, indirect heat kind of surrounding it. That's direct heat that's going to immediately put a char on your bird. So just my only tip would be to avoid going too high because you're going to burn your bird. And it'll be really dark on the outside before it's cooked in the middle.
Don, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. More phone calls to take, more emails to read, and then we will go and do a turnaround, and Forrest's email from Great Barrington will put us in another direction. We'll be back. Food Friday, Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here to get you ready for Thanksgiving cooking and some emails here. This one is from Linda. Linda says, another suggestion for cooking a small turkey or turkey breast, put it in a cooking bag. This makes for a ton of juice and very moist meat. You do give up the crisp skin, but the juicy meat makes up for it. That's from Linda. Agree or disagree, Deanna Fox?
Oh, yeah, those basting bags, I mean, that's exactly what they're designed for. They hold all of the moisture in, so you don't have to continuously go and, like, baste your bird and use your turkey baster or spoon some liquid over it. But the one problem is that you don't get that skin. There's no way to pull off enough moisture from the skin to get it nice and crispy. So it's just a personal choice, whatever you like best.
Okay, this one is from regular correspondent Laura. Subject heading, turkey dinner in one bite. The day after Thanksgiving, I make a layered bake. Stuffing on the bottom, pats of cheddar cheese, cream of celery soup, corn, turkey, cranberry, mashed with pats of butter, gravy on top, maybe a little more cheese. Yum. And that's from Laura.
Totally agree. And I love that she uses a condensed soup. That is a pantry ingredient that gets so overlooked. Good for her.
All right. This one's from... a BA in Scotia. We're veteran bird smokers, chicken, turkey, duck with charcoal. A couple of tips from experience. In cold weather, classic indirect with two heaps of coals helps keep the temperature even. And yes, you'll need to set up another chimney or two to fortify. For turkey, definitely do spatchcock or longwise half. An olive oil herb salt massage creates a great crispy skin. I hope you're jotting that down for your Thanksgiving, Deanna.
I sure did.
That's pretty good. All right, now, early in the, well, about half hour ago, Forrest was reading my mind, and he wrote, what are your favorite hors d'oeuvres to serve for Thanksgiving? I've done all of the usual snacks, olives, prosciutto, cheese, crackers, wondering if there are more interesting ideas I should consider to mix it up, and I am always about the hors d'oeuvres. Turkey secondary. This is the big one for me. So what do you got?
I'm on your team. I totally agree. I want to feel so full when I sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, and then I want to take a nap, and then I want to like have two servings of pie, take a nap, and then do it all over again.
Yeah.
So for my table, I always do a big cheese board. Cheese, charcuterie, pickles, you know, a lot of stuff that I made in the summer that I preserved in the summer, like different jams and pickles and that kind of thing come out at Thanksgiving. But I always do French onion dip, not Thanksgiving, unless I make French onion dip with real caramelized onions.
Oh, yeah. And you've brought that in on the show before, and it's excellent.
Thank you. And that whole thing. I always do baked brie with a ton of fig jam on top, baked. So it's just a wheel of brie that I put some fig preserves on, wrap it in a little pouch of puff pastry and bake it, and then just spoon it all day. I usually do some sort of nuts. Sometimes they're spicy, sometimes they're just herbs. And what else do I do? I do so many different things every year. I'll kind of just flip through cookbooks and find some weird things. Always some sort of like quick breads, like zucchini bread and pumpkin bread and apple bread with just an obscene amount of butter smeared all over it. But my dad is a big, like, Clams Casino guy, Oysters Rockefeller.
Yeah.
So usually we do those. Stuffed mushroom caps for my mom. She loves those. Shrimp cocktails always on the table. But I think I'm really going to, like, get into the oyster thing this year. Both of my children have learned to appreciate raw oysters. So I think I might place an order and just chuck a bunch of oysters in the morning and slurp them while I'm cooking.
You know, as a Philly, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute, 800-348-2551 if you have a question for Deanna Fox. As a philosophical issue and even a practical issue, If you like, you make a tremendous spread of hors d'oeuvres, and you guys mm-hmm. eat like swine all day on the hors d'oeuvres. Why bother with the turkey? Just cut right to the chase, take a nap, and have the pie, right?
You could, but I do love the turkey. I mean, this is like my Super Bowl. Like, this is where I get to shine. This is where all the skills and all of the knowledge that I've developed over my career get to, like, come front and center. So for me, it's more about
an
the
obligation.
Practice of it and yeah. what it, not even an obligation. I just love to do it. And I love having all the leftovers. Like, we all just kind of pick at our plates and then have just an obscene amount of leftovers for, you know, the next 3 or 4 days. And Thanksgiving shouldn't really just be about the meal the one time. It really should be, you know, continuing the gratitude on for as long as you can.
Okay, that's a good answer. Well done.
Thank you.
Our number Thanks. Here is 800-348-2551. Charles in Fishkill. Charles, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would like to advocate for braised turkey instead of roast turkey. I've been doing braised turkey for many years. I don't think, for me personally, it doesn't lack any flavor, and it's easier to do, and the results are way more consistent. I get the turkey cut up into pieces, and I brown them individually in a roasting pan over 2 burners on the stove. Then I cut up carrots and onions and parsnips and whole portobello mushrooms, then put the turkey on top of the vegetables, and then put liquid only maybe a third of the way up the turkey pieces, and that way you maintain the browned skin that people seem to obsess over.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So braising is an awesome way to incorporate flavor, just because you're slowly adding, you know, it's like osmosis. So you're taking the flavors of there on the outside, and then with process of heat and salt, infusing it into the meat. So if anybody wants to try it, and if you're one of those people who wants to do like a crock pot turkey, you could do it that way. I think that you offered a great tip right there.
Charles, thank you very much for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here to give you some Thanksgiving cooking tips. Robert in Schenectady. Robert, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
My question is, I've done the turkey sous vide the last couple of years. I get it quartered up, and it's a different temp and time for the dark meat from the white meat. The only thing I'm not happy with is trying to get a nice crispy finish on the skin at the end.
Yeah. So sous vide, I have a sous vide machine, and I don't play with it nearly enough. But for people who don't know, when you sous vide something, basically you vacuum seal your meat or whatever it is that you're cooking, and then you slowly poach it in this plastic, essentially, in low temperature water for an extended period of time. And it makes the meat really, really tender, just so great. But then you don't get that crispy skin. You're absolutely right. You could just kind of flash sear it after you are done braising it. So just put a little bit of probably equal parts butter, a couple tablespoons of butter, and a couple tablespoons of vegetable oil, or some sort of high smoke point oil, peanut oil, whatever, in a cast iron skillet. And then you could just kind of crisp up that skin really quick before you put it on, you know, your serving plate. But that's probably the best way to do it. If you put it in the oven or under the broiler, you're either going to get dried out meat or you're going to burn the skin.
Okay, thank you.
Robert.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551. Mark is in Springfield. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi.
Hey, just a nice suggestion. I did a turkey last year. I went through Indonesia, and they serve this awesome duck. They stuff it with, like, ginger and lemongrass and lime and oranges. And they do an Asian caramel, and you glaze it at the end while it's still in the oven after the skin is crisp, and it comes out insanely good.
Yeah, it's like a lacquered, right? Like a lacquered duck?
Yeah,
lacquered. You could definitely do that with a turkey. That would be amazing. That sounds so good to me.
Yeah, they do that in Indonesia with ducks, and it's just unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Great suggestion.
Well, thanks, Mark. What, they call it lacquered duck?
Yeah, lacquered, because it gets like this. It's almost like there's usually a little bit of sugar that's incorporated into whatever they're kind of covering it with,
yeah.
Whatever the basing liquid is. It's almost like a barbecue sauce. It kind of has that consistency.
Yeah.
And then as you're slowly cooking it, it just like gets this like almost like when you make a candy apple, that like candy coating, it's almost like that on the outside. It's so good.
Now, to be clear, I should not go to Home Depot and get some lacquer for this. This is not.
No, don't do that.
All right, let's go to Matt in Wappingers Falls. Matt. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hello.
So you're talking about, or somebody mentioned, putting the turkey in one of these roasting bags that you put in the oven. Do you have any idea of when they came on the market?
When they came on the market? No, I don't. But they've been around for a long time. I remember being a kid and my mother making a turkey in one.
Why do you ask that question, Matt?
Because in 1958, I remember my father, his way of making a turkey would be the night before at 10 o'clock at night, he'd take a regular paper bag from the grocery store, stick the turkey in it, stick it in a pan in the oven at 175 degrees, leave it there for, I don't know, about 18 to 19 hours. The next day, it was the most succulent, perfect turkey I'd ever tasted.
Good Lord, I've never heard of that one. Deanna.
Me either. That's a long staged out turkey roast.
Wow. And what happened to the bag, though? Like, I mean, does the bag just dissolve?
No, you take it out of the bag and you eat the turkey.
Yeah, I'd probably eat the bag too.
Because by being in the bag, it's kind of self-basting.
Right.
So that's something that's true. People cook things in parchment. I even, when I'm like reheating baked goods, I actually do put it in a brown paper, like lunch sack, crinkle up the end a little bit and sprinkle some water on top, and it like steams it. It's a good consistency to steam it. So it's the same concept as using one of the, you know, the plastic, you know, basting bags that you get at the grocery store now. So the concept works. I've just never heard of it. And 175 for that long makes me nervous about food safety, but you live to tell the tale.
So far.
So I think, yeah.
Hey, Matt, thanks. That was a great one. Deanna Fox is our guest. This email came in from Paula in Beacon. Paula has a suggestion about what to do with leftovers. Paula writes, "My brother does most of the cooking on Thanksgiving. In the last few years, my brother has put all the leftovers together, turkey, stuffing, or potatoes and vegetables, to make Thanksgiving egg rolls in the air fryer." Mm. Ding, mm-hmm. ding, ding. That's a winner right there.
That does sound amazing. Yep.
All right. So maybe you try that.
And in the air fryer. So they cook really quick and they get so like blisteringly crunchy when you bite into them. They just kind of like, they must just like splinter off. That sounds so good.
Yeah, that's a good genius move right there. That and putting the turkey in the paper bag for 18 hours, which is just, all right, quickly, we only got about 4 or 5 minutes here. So if you want to jump in and give Deanna Fox a question, 800-348-2551. In the meantime, let's move to dessert. You have done pie shows here on this program for years. We've had the argument about when it's appropriate to do pumpkin pie and when apple is appropriate. What are we doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, I just hate pumpkin pie, so I never think it's appropriate to do pumpkin pie.
What do you mean you hate pumpkin pie? It's America.
Oh, no, I don't like it.
All right, go on.
I usually make a pumpkin pie. I make a great pumpkin pie. The trick, if you want to make a really great pumpkin pie, is when you add all of your pie spices together, add in a little black pepper. That's the trick.
Really?
Yes, that's the trick, I promise you. So a little black pepper will go a long way. But I do a pumpkin pie because I have pumpkin pie lovers in my family, regrettably. I always do an apple pie, and I always do a chocolate cream.
Hang on. You hate apple pie and pumpkin pie?
No. I like apple pie. Oh, I hate pumpkin pie.
Oh, I thought you said you hated apple pie.
No, pumpkin pie. Sorry. I hate pumpkin pie. I love apple pie.
All right. Fair enough. So those in your family that you indulge, you will make a pumpkin pie. Do you make it from scratch and grind up the pumpkin, or do you just get a can of the stuff and throw it in?
No, I think it's always better to just, you know, let the can do what the can is supposed to do. You can get into some weird texture issues if you've never roasted a pumpkin before and you try to do it.
Yeah.
The stuff that you get from the can has a lot of moisture cooked off of it, so it gives you that really creamy, custardy filling.
Mm. All right. Any other pies or desserts you're going to make for Thanksgiving this year?
I saw somebody this week. I was doing an event this week with another chef, and she made a sweet potato creme brulee, and it looked so divine. It was like this layer of sweetened mashed sweet potato filling in the bottom, and then a traditional creme brulee with a little bit of bourbon filling on top, and then you cook it like you would creme brulee, and then you put the sugar on and you blister it and you crack it. So I might make that as well.
Oh, interesting.
I'm happy with Dutch apple pie is like, you know, the food of my soul. So I'm definitely gonna make one of those. I'll probably make, I don't know, maybe I'll make a pecan pie too. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and you said it wrong, but let's go to the phones. Jim in Albany. Jim, you're on.
Hey, hello, Ray and Deanna.
Hey.
I'm giving thanks to Deanna and Ray for creating a great program and getting us all in the Thanksgiving spirit.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Well, that's very nice. The check's in the mail there, buddy. Thank you very much. Anyway, we're almost done here. Any tips that you would give us here in the last minute or so about cooking and preparing and hosting very small gatherings?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are going to be cooking Thanksgiving for the first time themselves this year, and it's important not to get overwhelmed. Like, really focus on the three things that really make Thanksgiving, you know, the event for you. Focus on those three things. Do them as best you can, and, you know, cut corners if you need to. If you need to buy, like, store-bought rolls or something like that, it's okay. Don't stress yourself out. It's just Thanksgiving. It's important that you're happy. It's more important that you're happy than you're cooking everything from scratch.
And it's also important you stay healthy. So, you know, even when the gang comes over, if your family comes over and it's less than 10, keep your distance. How are you not going to hug your dad, though?
Yeah, well, my parents are in my little COVID pod here, so I think we're okay.
All right, fair enough. Well, Deanna Fox, how do people find you online?
Sure. I've got tons of Thanksgiving tips and recipes on my website, which is foxonfood.com. You can also go to Fox on Food on Facebook. And then if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's just Deanna N. Fox.
All right. Well, beautiful job. Thank you very much for being here. Have a good Thanksgiving and good luck with all the cooking. We will talk to you soon.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Support comes from Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, serving Albany since 1982. Now open Wednesday through Sundays for dinner, working to provide a safe experience for our patrons. CafeCapriccio.com. And Buttermilk Falls Inn and Spa, Milton, now taking reservations for massage therapies, facial therapies, body therapies, and nail therapies in a spa setting with Hudson River views. ButtermilkFallsInn.com. Once again, thanks to Deanna Fox for being here. Thank you for listening. Terrific calls and emails, as usual. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Our producer, Jackie Orchard. Barb King took the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Tomorrow, it's a blisteringly good day of programming on WAMC. And then on Sunday, more of the same. And then on Monday, we'll be back at 2 for a Medical Monday with Dr. Jeremy Stopker, who will discuss primary care and family medicine. So, have a safe weekend. Wear the mask. We'll see you Monday. Stand by now for the best of our knowledge.